Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
It's time!
Hello, everybody. Dave Destruction Sturcio here with another episode of Destruction 101, episode 17. Yes, we have gotten 17 weeks already, and we added a little flavor to the end of my intro, and that would be Mr. Bruce Buffer, somebody I appreciate. I find very entertaining, and that goes for any hype man, ring announcer. Why would I play that right now? Well, I guess you're going to have to find out at the Starland Ballroom this Saturday. WrestlePro is back. We are back at the Starland Ballroom featuring Mike Elgin, Moose, the Blue Meanie, Diamond Dallas Page, Swoggle, all your WrestlePro favorites. We are all there. We are all in the house ready to bring the noise, and we are talking about a 30-man over-the-top rumble to determine the new number one contender to Bobby Wayward's WrestlePro Championship. A lot of stuff happening this weekend. A lot of guests, a lot of just a lot of cool things, you know. And first and foremost, it's been a little bit of a rough week for me personally. And I would like to dedicate this episode of this podcast to my late great friend, Uncle Richie, otherwise known as Big Rich, otherwise known as the Don. I mean, he was just, if you knew the guy, he knew how to lit up a room, you know, light up a room. And it's just, it was something, he is just a special person. And he is one of my best friends, Richie. It was his father. And he passed away last Thursday. I remember, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where you're always going to remember where you were when you found out, because I was watching the Ranger game. And, of course, I'm into it, and I'm doing my thing on Thursday. But, you know, I get the text, and I found out all the information and whatnot, and I was just floored. And it was just kind of one of those things where he meant so much to me and in so many ways. And I've been sharing a couple stories here and there on my social medias and whatnot, and a couple life lessons that he would have taught me, you know. You know, so I found out Thursday during the Ranger game kind of put me off to the side. Like, I just couldn't get into the game anymore. And you're talking to the biggest of the big fans of all sports. So when I get sidetracked from a sport, let alone a playoff hockey game, you know that I'm of all people, for, you know, at a loss of words. So that happened. Obviously, I'll get into my whole weekend, but first and foremost, again, my heart and prayers go out to the entire family. They're like my family. Once upon a time, I was a lot closer to that family, you know. And as times change, people change, you know, things happen. You're not always connected to everybody that you want to be connected to. But one thing is for sure, that, you know, Uncle Richie, Big Rich, he was always a supporter. And always a fan of everything that was happening in my life. And he was always proud of me. And he, you know, reiterated it time and time again that I was doing good. And sometimes you need something like that. Whether it be, you know, an older gentleman or woman, like a grandfather or a father or a friend or whoever. If you have somebody in your ear, you know, constantly reminding you that you're doing okay at what you love to do, it's a special feeling. And that's something he gave me time and time again. He was at my first wrestling match. He was in the crowd rooting me on. He was at the after party, drinking the beers with me, throwing them back. That was what stood out about Big Rich. You know, he wasn't your average dad. You know, he would hang out, literally, no BS. He would hang out with Richie and all his friends, which were all of us. And it was just the coolest thing. I mean, what other dad who else can say that their dad comes out to the bars and you know, and kicks a couple beers back, but it wasn't all, you know, it wasn't like he was the, like he just drank for a living. No, not at all. He was the most dedicated father, a dedicated grandfather. He was just a perfect, perfect example of what you're supposed to be. And of course, you know, when things like this happen, it floors you, yes, but it also puts a lot in perspective and it really opens your eyes to the things you want in life, what you want out of life. You know, this guy started a family and he was the rock behind the family. You know, he was the guy that led the charge for a lot. You know, and saying goodbye and seeing all my friends and their family just suffer. I mean, it was the hardest thing I've had to deal with in a long time. You know, I'm Mr. Positivity and all this other stuff, but real life happens, folks, you know, and we do go around once. So if you're, you know, sitting back, and I said this last week when we talked about celebrities like kids or celebrity siblings dying. I mean, this one's home. You know, this one hits home, and you know, when somebody passes that was that important to you, and you spent so much time with him, and you spent so much time talking to him, and having him talk you off a ledge countless amount of times. You know, I mean, and just be cool with everything that I was doing, even if it was the dumbest thing I could have possibly done. And short story, like, you know, we all went down to AC a couple years ago. I think of the year 2013. Yeah, that sounds about right. Early 2013, maybe even late 2012, but I'm pretty sure it was early 2013. I went down to AC with Big Rich, Richie, a couple of my friends, a girl I was dating at the time. We were, you know, having a good time. And what happens when you're in AC, when you're partying too hard, you get drunk and you get angry, and I may or may not have been a good person that night, you know? So on top of getting lost at one point, I got lost and I had nowhere to go. And I think it was at the pool at Harrah's, if I'm not mistaken. I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's where we were. I was lost, drunk, miserable. I didn't know where I was. None of my friends were present. I didn't know what was going on. But the one person who found me in a sea of literally, no kidding, hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe close to 1,000 people in the pool at Harrah's was Big Rich. He found me. He like took me under his wing that night and made sure I was okay for the rest of the night, knowing that I had no idea where anybody was. And that night, I went back to the hotel room, and I was angry. I mean, I was just irate at myself, you know, just pissed off drunk. And I punched a hole in a wall in his hotel room that he has a timeshare for. So here I am, like, oh boy, you know, like, what did I just do? You know, and my friends at the time thought it'd be a funny joke to hang one of my destruction T-shirts next to the hole and just, you know, mark that was like me marking my territory, like Hulk Smash or some shit like that. But it was bad. And Richie, one of my best friends, was like, listen, man, what you just did was bad news, and you're gonna have to tell my dad what you did. And there's no way out of it. There's like, what are you going to do? Like, tell them you didn't do it? There's a fucking hole in the wall. So you can't do anything about it. You've done it. The damage, done. So what do? I call him. And it was the next day on the way home. And I said, hey, listen, Big Rich, I did something wrong. I put a hole in the wall. And he's like, whoa. And it, like, if you know Richie, Uncle Rich, you'll know his not so much accent, but just the way he talks. Like, he's old school, like, Italian, just, hey, that was his thing. Like, he just, like the Fonz or something, you know? And he's like, hey, Dave, you know, you can't be blasting holes in walls. And, like, anybody else, any other father would have threw a conniption. He didn't. He almost understood that emotions get the best of people. And he didn't charge me money. He didn't say, like, hey, you're going to owe me money for the wall. Like, everything worked itself out, obviously. But that was the kind of guy he was, man. He was just laid back, cool, just always composed, always just set the right example. And I can't thank him enough for, obviously, A, the support, B, talking to me about girls and how they you know, how I shouldn't jump off ledges when it comes to females and all that stuff. And listen, if any lessons you're going to learn over, you know, seeing somebody pass and seeing a family just kind of crumble before your eyes, and it's like, yeah, people will get over it over time, and it'll take some time, but you know, it's a crippling thing when you lose the leader of your family. And that's something that I thought about the entire time all this was going on, as far as, you know, I was at the wake on Sunday and the funeral yesterday. I took off of work and I just wanted to be there for my friend. You know, I wanted to stand by his side and stand by that whole family the whole day, as long as I possibly could, just to show them that I was there and I wasn't going anywhere and I'm never going to go anywhere again. It's one of those things where it's a slap in the face of reality, where if you're holding a grudge, and it wasn't like I was grudging with anybody. It wasn't that at all. That was just a generalization almost. But if you're holding on to a grudge and you have one life, we get one chance at this, you know, that's the last thing you want to do. Like, God forbid you leave this earth and people weren't able to say they're sorry or weren't able to express how they're feeling at the time because they're gone. You won't be able to live with yourself. You know, and then being around this family yesterday, like some of the highlights of being around the family is that he brings, and this is what happens with anybody that passes that's just has such a powerful force over people, but it brings everybody together. And I must have shot like 4 or 5 text messages to a couple of the boys that I saw there over the last couple of days with the funerals and the services and stuff, and I apologized to everybody. You know, I said, listen, I haven't been around. I always take things to heart. I'm always such some touchy bitch who just gets butthurt at the easiest of things. And that's not my style anymore. And it was almost too late in my mind. It was too late to make up for, you know, the things I may have said or just not so much turn my back on anybody, but just kind of like fall off to the side. And I wasn't having it. So I made sure I told everybody that I was sorry. And I think that's something you guys should do too. I think that in this day and age, with life being so fragile, and that's, I'm not talking about, I mean, my man was 74 years old, so he lived, and he saw a lot of cool things, and he made sure he told you every single story, and I can't thank him enough for all the stories that he's taught. But like, in general, people in general are dying earlier, whether it be an accident or a heart attack or whatever the case may be. People are dropping. So you really, truly have to make all the time that you have on this earth worth every second. And that's why, you know, I've gone on record to say that it's time to get busy living. And as weird as this sounds, you know, through all this trials and tribulations and being upset and hurt, other things have come forward. And it's like, whoa, how did this happen? You know, like, and these are things that you'll find out over time. But like, I just can't thank him enough for just that little bit of positivity that he provided every time I talked to him. There wasn't a time in knowing him for almost a decade that he was mad or sad or anything other than happy. And that's the way you need to live life. You know, I know this is a wrestling podcast and a sports podcast, but sometimes real life hits, man. And you got to hear it from the horse's mouth. Like somebody who just went through it, like myself, you know, obviously, the one thing you think about when stuff like this happens is this is going to happen to me too. And if I couldn't hold it together at a funeral yesterday because I watched one of my best friends just cry. You know, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't stomach the feeling and I was just devastated. And I know this is what life is all about. It begins and it ends. One day it's going to end for people that are close, very, very close to me. And I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle it. I don't. And I don't even like thinking about it. I was talking to my friend yesterday about it. Like, you're not like prepared for this stuff. You don't even want to stomach it because you just don't know how you're going to feel. So life's too short. You know, if I can teach you guys anything, whoever listens to the sound of my voice, you know, take chances, man. I don't care how stupid and silly they seem. So far-fetched, take chances. Some of them, listen. It's the theory of throwing shit at a wall and seeing what sticks, because that's exactly what I'm going to do starting now and going forward. I will put myself out there as much as I humanly possibly can to make a name for myself and to feel good about myself. And there are specific people out there right now that constantly remind me lately, within the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, that I'm doing okay. And yesterday, even standing around the family, you know, I had his uncle or I'm sorry, his aunt come up to me and look at me in the eye, and she's like, "You look familiar." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, no, I'm friends with Richie." And she's like, "Yeah, no, but you're the famous friend." And I'm like, "No, I'm sorry, you got the wrong guy. Maybe you're thinking of our friend Richie, who was another guy who's a UFC, not UFC, MMA fighter." So I'm thinking like, "You got the wrong guy." She's like, no, you're the wrestler who's now doing all this broadcasting stuff. We read about you all the time." And I'm like, "Oh, all right, well, that's awesome." She's like, "Big Rich talked about you in such the highest regards." And like that touches me, man. Like, yeah, he might tell me that he's proud, or he might tell me that like, "Oh yeah, hey Dave, you're doing good, bud." You know, he might give me one of those. But for somebody else to say it, somebody totally off the wall, like that's really something. And I really cannot thank that entire family. And that goes for anybody who's been in my life within the last couple months. And, you know, obviously, you know who you are, and I think you guys have really, you know, there's not a lot of you, but there is a select few of you, and when I say few, I mean, like, I can count you on one hand, maybe even a half a hand, but it's every day, and it's constant, and it's great. And I leave you with that, you know, on this subject, that remember, there are people out there that root for your success. There are people out there that will tell you constantly how proud they are of you. So those are the people you need to surround yourself with. Don't hold grudges against people. I mean, unless they like, I don't even know. Like, there's been so many people. Like, honestly, I've been in like some serious like physical altercations with people in my past. And like, I to this day, if I saw that person in public right now, it's not like the first thought in my mind isn't, "Well, the last time I saw him, I punched him in the face." Like, no. Like, I root for everybody's happiness, and I root for everybody's success. And there's nothing, I don't know how this, I mean, like, I'm trying to think of the words. There's nothing sexier than success. There really isn't. There's nothing cooler than success. And it's your own success. I had another friend tell me yesterday, like, "Yeah, you might not be Mr. Millionaire, but you're being noticed. People are starting to take notice to what you do and how you act and, you know, how the way you carry yourself." So it doesn't go unnoticed. And that makes me feel special. So Davey feels special today. So, it's going to take a little time to get over something as tragic as this. But I know with the power of friendship and family, and I said this yesterday, there's nothing in this world, you can't tell me nothing bigger and better than family, a strong family. And I'm not even talking about blood. Like, they don't have to be your mom and dad. They don't have to be your brother or your sister. They have to be close enough to you that you want to succeed and you want to embrace and travel along with the journeys of these people, the closest friends you got. Now, as you get older, it's one of those things. Like, if you're listening to this and you're my age, I'm 31. I've lost a lot of friends. I used to have a lot more friends than I have now. But I think the people I surround myself with now are my family. And I'm not talking about just my brother, who I love more than anything else in the world, but I'm talking about like everybody that's still in my life. I consider you family. And that's the bottom line. So, yeah, with that being said, the weekend started off, Friday, I went and saw The Fate and the Furious of The Furious, or Fast and Furious 8, or whatever the hell you want to call it. Sometimes I like to get out and go to a movie and check it out. And I loved it because I'm a big fan of The Rock. I think if you haven't seen it yet, it's, you know, look, the last four or five have been so far-fetched. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, oh, I'm just going to jump out of a car and we're going to land in another car while it's in the air, while it's jumping off a building. Like, it's just so far-fetched. This one wasn't as bad. They had, like, one scene in the ice thing. I don't even know what country they were in, but it was all ice. And I'm like, okay, you can't fucking do that on ice. Like, you know, like, I'm not totally oblivious, but the acting's great. They're already spicing up a ninth one, I think. I think they're going to stop at 10. But I saw a lot of cool previews. I saw the Justice League preview for the first time. I'm not Mr. Movie Phone preview guy. I haven't looked up trailers in a while, and I really should, because, like, when I saw it, I was going freaking batshit nuts. I'm like, oh, my God, it's fucking Aquaman. But then I'm thinking, like, that's not Vinny Chase. So, yeah, so I saw Fast and Furious 8 on Friday night. Saturday was the joint show between Battle Club Pro and Tier 1 Wrestling. I had a friggin' ball. Shout out to Money Morales, Joakim, Kino, my man, delivered the goods again. top to bottom, the show was great. I had an in-ring spot, which I will release pictures tonight as I record this. It'll be Tuesday. A great shot that Danny Walsh, if you want to hire a great photographer, Danny Walsh is the guy to do it. He's the guy who's always at Tier 1 in Battle Club. Short little dude, blonde hair, usually wears glasses. Fantastic. Him and Stacy Podelsky, they're usually like our one and two as far as camera people, as far as, you know, pictures. And they capture the coolest shit. They really do. Getting to Queens was a trip because, first of all, I went the wrong way. I went the more expensive way. I took the GWB, which I'm familiar with because I take the GWB to get to the Yankee Stadium. So I'm familiar with that. What else? Yeah, so then I go on to the Major Deegan, which takes you usually, it took me right back, right by Yankee Stadium, then a couple more bridges. I don't know, it cost me like $35 to get to the place. And then once I got there, parking. Like, I texted Carlos. I said, dude, is there a parking lot? He said, no. I'm like, fantastic, because I'm ready to blow a gasket, and I haven't even gotten to the building yet. Parking situation at LaBoom isn't the greatest. It's street parking. I highly recommend next time if I ever have to go there again, then I'm going to take, like, mass transit or some shit. I don't know. It might just be easier. I mean, it only cost me, like, what, $4 to park on street, and I just so happened to grab a spot right in front, which was nice. But, I mean, I was on the phone, and I'm bugging out. Like, where the frig am I parking? Like, if you were on the other side of that phone call, you would have thought that I was ready to just, like, blow my head off. But anyway, as I said, the show, top to bottom, good. The ring got there a little late, which caused the show to start a little late, which it kind of rushed us, but at the same time, it was like, okay, this is getting timed out really well, and everything kind of flowed very, very good. The show is up and for free right now at battleclubpro.com. You can check it out. All my commentary is on there. I had an in-ring spot. He's got to switch a couple things out so you can hear me on the mic because I drop a nice couple bombs on Christopher Beckett, the Tier 1 commissioner, who is a gamer. He played ball. Everything worked out really well, and we had ourselves a great time. And I'm very impressed with a lot of these guys. And I brought my friend Arcadia, my friend Matt, onto the show. I said, you know, this guy is good. I'm telling you, he will deliver, and he did. Him and Myron Reed just tore the house down. And then Matt McIntosh, I mean, I can't say enough about him. I say it over and over and over again. I mean, if you don't know who this guy is, you don't know independent wrestling, because he is top to bottom just awesome. You know, all my boys that I'm close with are just excelling and exceeding expectations. You know, Bowens, obviously he had another great match, and I was just talking to him before I started recording about his next match coming up against Brute Van Slyke on May 6th. We'll get more into that next week. Because obviously this week's all about WrestlePro, and next week is all about Battle Club. So things are happening. A lot of cool shit happening. A lot of talent. A lot of good stuff. And professional wrestling is one of those businesses where, like, you just need things to really develop fast. You know, and it's a hot market right now. Hence why I have so many bookings. My dance card's getting a little full. I'll get more into all that after the break, because there's a couple more things that have popped up that I want to do, and who knows, you know, like, it'll just be one of those things where one thing will lead into another. You know, I might say it a million times over, but power of positivity, man. Positive thinking leads to positive shit. So let me take a break right now. I know it's only been like 25 minutes or so, but I'll take a break. We'll come back with Gino Gatz, Kicked in the Head, another edition of that, which I have not listened to. Again, I'm trusting Gino to deliver the goods. And then I'll come back with a couple more cool things happening. The NFL draft is this week. It just lands on Thursday with everything else. So we'll cover that as soon as I get back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, EC.
What do you hear? What do you say? Welcome to another edition of Kicked in the Head, the Jewish Source's favorite podcast, which also features Destruction 101, exclusively here on the Shining Wizards Network. Now this week, I want to talk about something that, thank God, wasn't available when I was in high school. social media. Do you fucking kids have any idea the paper trail you're leaving for your family? When you're 83 years old, you skinny hoes, your grandkids are gonna be like, hey, Nona, is this you in this thong bikini getting whipped cream licked off by some Jamaican Rastafarian on vacation? Oh, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Go look at something else. No, fuck that shit. You ever want to see your grandmother naked on a beach? Hell motherfucking no. But your kids, your grandkids, they're going to be able to see everything you little whores ever did. Now, on the other side, somebody like Johnny Clash, his grandkids are going to watch him lose for basically his entire career. Hey, keep that streak going, baby. You're number one in my heart. Then you got people like Casey Cattell who pose in their under... Actually, I'm going to show my grandkids that. Anyway, this has been another edition of Kicked in the Head with your boy Gino Guts. You can hit me up on the Twitter, Gino_Guts. Otherwise, you can go fuck yourself. Have a wonderful day. And remember, you're only as good as your last envelope. So keep that hustle going, baby.
Angry little fucker, isn't he today? Gino Gotz, thank you very much. And yeah, I know. I'm in the know, and I'm very aware that the Jewosaurus is a fan of you and not a fan of me. So maybe we'll just get you a longer special, or maybe you can do your own fucking podcast. How about that, Gino? But yeah, welcome back, everybody. He touched on a lot of shit. Just don't touch on Casey Cattell. Oh! Forget about it. But anyway, so we're back. And, yeah, like I said, I've been in discussion with so many people over the last couple of days with a lot of cool things happening. I got a phone call the other day asking me if I was available to referee adult football on May the 7th. So it's the day after Battle Club. And I said, yeah, I don't have anything going on. And then in my back of my head, I'm like, shit, what's the Rangers schedule like? And it doesn't fall on a Rangers game. Unfortunately, the Rangers start Thursday, which is great. They start on Thursday, but at the same time is the NFL draft, and at the same time, it's game three of the Red Sox and Yankees series, so it's like, holy shit, like, is there a lot of going on or what? Typically, I would say, go to the bar, watch everything all at once, but I think I'm just going to go to my brother's, if he's available, which he said he was. So anyway, what was I going with this? Oh yeah, so I got a phone call about refereeing adult flag football, which I used to play in the same league. And I said, yeah, sure, because it's decent money for just hanging out and watching football, basically, and calling a bunch of flags to a bunch of wannabes. So I said, yeah, sure. And then I said, listen, I know you're involved in Major League Football, which is a semi-pro football organization. I got to do my homework, but it started a couple years back, but it's gotten bigger. Started off a couple local teams. Now it's from Boston all the way down to, like, Philly. It's obviously like people my age, people that are also younger than me that just don't make it to the NFL. It's almost like the CFL, if you think about it, the Canadian Football League. This is Major League Football, MLF. A lot of teams. And I told him, I said, listen, I know you're involved with this. I'd really like to be involved in any way I could possibly be involved. And that was a text, and I got nothing back. And I'm like, ugh, all right, whatever, no big deal. So when I got the call, it was basically to say that he was looking for a new color commentator for the Silver City Wolves, which is a semi-pro football team for the Major League Football organization that is based out of Bridgeport, Connecticut, I want to say. And it doesn't. This is where it's weird. I don't have to travel up to Connecticut for these games. Basically, what this team wants to do is they want their games to happen. You know, just say, let's, for an example, Friday night, right? Friday night, they just B-roll it. B-roll is basically just recording the game. That's it. Nothing. There's nothing to it. So then they take the B-roll and they send it over to Howie at HSG Productions. He adds commercials. And then post-production, it'll be me and another guy doing the play-by-play and the color commentary. Sometimes I'm like, I don't really like that. But this is a perfect opportunity for me to get my foot in the door for them as far as the MLF is concerned. Like, I understand that some of you people are probably like, dude, you're doing way too much. To me, I don't think you could do enough. I mean, in this line of work, when you're trying to break in, you're doing as many things as you can. And I'm not even employed by a major like backer. Like, I don't have WFAN. I'm not working at Sirius anymore. Like, yeah, I have my connections, but at the same time, like, I'm not employed there. So I don't have the foot in there, but I can just keep dabbling as much as I can. And again, like I said before, I'm throwing a bunch of shit at the wall, and whatever sticks, sticks. And I'm excited about it. So, yeah, Major League Football's coming up. I'm also going to be doing a lot of stuff at Franklin High School with HSG Productions. So much stuff going on. And I'm really appreciative for everything that's happening. Because, obviously, yeah, there's a lot of shit. And it seems like it can get very busy. Because as I'm saying this to you, I just received an email back from the athletic director of Franklin Park. And I told him, listen, the summer's coming. I don't have anything rock solid right now as far as actual work. I mean, once school's out, school's out. What am I supposed to do? I can look for, you know, summer work, and I will. You know, I thought about going back into bouncing one or two nights a week just to try to make ends meet, you know? And, but obviously I have time on my hands, so what am I going to do? So I want to pursue coaching again. I mean, now that I think that we're not, I don't think we're going to do the Franklin High School football games like I did last year, because this year is a very, very big transition year, and it might be an ugly season. I mean, truth be told, that's what happens when you lose your coach. You lose a lot of guys to colleges and stuff, and some of your key players. It might be a very big transition year for the Franklin Warriors, so we might not do the football. So in that case, I'll be available for the Franklin Warriors coaching staff to get my foot in the door with that. There's just so much stuff that I could possibly land in that it would just be fantastic to just get my, you know, my feet wet in all these departments. So yeah, I'm excited. Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be excited to get involved in something that you've wanted to do since Jump Street? I've wanted to coach football for as long as I've been around the game. Like, obviously, yes, do I love playing it? Yes. What's funny about playing sports is I got a phone call right before I started recording this from my buddy Joe. And it seems to me that tomorrow night, as you're listening to this, when this drops at around 5:30, 6 o'clock, whenever it comes out, I will be suiting up to go play some softball. So it's been a long time since I've been able to play softball. So I don't know how it's going to go. I know it's unlimited arc, so I'm going to be sitting there waiting for this pebble to come out of the sky and just hopefully whack the crap out of it. Can't say that I will, can't say that I won't. So it's been a while. So I'm just excited to get back out there in a competitive nature, and I'm on a very, very competitive team that takes this shit very, very seriously. So I'm excited. So yeah, remains to be seen of what kind of noise I can bring. But again, we'll see what happens. But going forward, I mean, you got the Rangers playing on Thursday night, game one of the second round. Saturday night, we were out in game six when they won that. Boy, did I celebrate like we won the fucking cup. It was ridiculous. There is no reason to celebrate the way I did for when they won that series. Like, it's just, it's only one series. I mean, there's still eight teams left in the league. So they went from 16 to 8. Now we got to get down to the final four, and then we got to win that one and get to the finals. There's so much shit to be done, and the Rangers aren't predicted to do much in the second round. So anything else other than this is extra, I think. But it's exciting, you know. You know what also is exciting? Watching Aaron Judge swing a baseball bat, okay? If you're a Yankee fan right now, you have to be excited and just overjoyed with the amount of offensive firepower that we've been able to produce in the first couple months. First month. It's just something to be said about either the hitting coach or just these guys' desire to win games. They're not billionaires right now, you know, so you have to assume that they're playing their hearts out because they're playing to be billionaires. They want to be these rich people, you know what I mean? They want to be these guys going forward, so why not try to make a name for yourself right now? I mean, we're getting it from all ends, pitching, hitting, just overall, just great. Great start by the Yankees, and hopefully they can do some damage against those bastards from Boston. And I say that lightly because obviously I care. I care about those. But anyway, so what else we got? We got the NFL draft, which again, a lot of speculation going on right now as to who the Browns are going to take at one. If they're smart, they take Miles Garrett. Is that what his name is? Yeah. Miles Garrett. They say it is like character issues. Like, come on, everybody, every friggin' player that comes out of college is a character issue. okay? There's nobody coming out like, oh, I'm a all-American bred, like, just clean, squeaky clean person. And then, that, you know, of course, there are some that are like that. But, again, it's a needle in a haystack to find a guy like that. So, Cowboys are at 28, meaning their pick will probably not come in until, like, 11 o'clock at night, which kind of works out because it'll be right after the Ranger game. So hopefully maybe the Yankees will win, the Rangers will win, and then the Cowboys will drop a bomb and try to grab somebody worth grabbing. They had obviously the best draft they've ever had last year, taking Zeke first with the fourth pick, and then finding Jalen Smith sitting there who is making progress. I mean, the guy is going to be a monster once his nerves start to regenerate and stuff. And then obviously our new leader and general, Dak Prescott, in the fourth round. So we did all right last year. So let's see what they can pull out of their hats this time around. Going forward, like I said, wrestling schedule coming up. It's getting kind of busy. I'll go over it real quick, only because like I said, a lot of shit coming up. Let's see, commentary bookers. There we go. April 29th, this Saturday, back at the Starlight Ballroom. I really hope I see some of you guys there. I'm very excited about it. There's a lot of new things that are about to happen that I'm excited about. May 6th, Battle Club Pro in the Bronx. Be there. I'm telling you, as you're seeing this, listening to this, my announcement already dropped. I recorded another promo for them to kind of get the ball rolling with their May 6th show, which, by the way, if you saw me throw a chair shot, I didn't swing hard enough. So it didn't budge that big bastard. So that was my first chair shot. My first desk pop. You know, if anybody gets that reference. But my first chair shot, and I landed flush. I hit that bitch out of fucking Queens, but then the guy didn't budge. May 20th coming up. I guess I can promote that. It's less than a month away. Where WrestlePro is back in Rahway. Cody Rhodes taking on Joey Janela, which is amazing on paper. I'm sure they'll deliver as everybody predicts. Colt Cabana's back in May. Then the day after, the return of BBWF. I guess they're taking a month off from promoting and wrestling, and I hope it's good for them. I hope it works out because they're a fun company to work for. Like, they're smaller. It's like a launching pad for a lot of these younger guys that'll get their spots. But I just hope that, you know, and this goes for any professional wrestling organization. I just hope to God, and this goes for Battle Club. I mean, not Battle Club because I choose the guys, but this goes for BBWF and Tier 1 and Five Borough. I hope, and everybody else, UWA Elite, all you guys, I really, truly hope that all of your guys are trained, okay? And when I say trained, I don't say, hey, I took a seminar here, I'm good to go. You better be fucking trained if you're going to get in a professional wrestling ring, okay? A lot of things that came up over the weekend, and I'm not trying to name names, but people are trying to break into the industry just by not so much handouts, but just kind of like the wrong way, and people are given certain roles that just shouldn't exist, and like, let me raffle off the next ring announcer. Like, stop. Like, just be professional, man. You want to separate yourself and you want to be not backyard wrestling, then this is how you do it. You get professionals, you pay the right people to do it, and that's it. You get a good production crew like Carlos and his boys. Put together some good shit. Stop letting these fans come in over the guardrail into the ring. This is no disrespect to anybody that's ever showed me support, and I'm not trying to bash anybody or drop any bombs on anybody, but at the same time, know your place. Just know your place in wrestling. We're all in this together. We do need the fans for everything to progress, okay? Because without you guys, we're nobody. And that's the same thing that goes all the way to the top, to WWE. Without guys like, you know, me and anybody else who watches this product every day, you know, and every week and whatever the case may be, without us, they are nothing. Without you guys, we are nothing. We get that. We have put in a lot of time and effort. We've put in a lot of time and effort to get to where we are today. And I used to be timid when it came to, I don't know if I should try to take that spot because that's this person. Well, guess what? Those days are over, pal. Those days are over, and it's no disrespect to anybody, but I firmly believe in my abilities, and I firmly believe that I can do a good, if not better, job than most of people doing their jobs out there. So if you're looking to upgrade your commentary at your wrestling show, call me or text or email. I always plug my social medias every week. These are things that you should do to invest in your product. It's the only way it's going to get better. You cannot have a successful show without A, a good ring announcer, B, a good commentary team, because you're going to have to put the shit online. And nobody really wants to just watch wrestlers wrestle. I know I don't. And that's not me being, like, putting myself over. That's just me knowing that sometimes when I watch Raw or SmackDown, I listen for the little quips that, like, Corey Graves or one of these guys will throw at you and, like, wow, that was really funny. And, you know, I'm a fan of Moro, and I'm a fan, you know, obviously Moro's not there anymore, but I'm a fan of JBL. I'm a fan of all these guys because of the things, the extra little tidbits that they drop on you. Like, this is why Talking Smack is such a high-regarded show, and how they have now a Raw post show, and all of these things add up to have a great production. And I truly think and believe that if you're trying to invest in your product and make it good, these are the things you need to do. And obviously, talent as well. They're trained. If they're trained from, you know, House of Glory, WrestlePro, Monster Factory, you know, anybody out west that I don't really know anything about. But, like, just put the time in. If you want to be good at this, put the time in. I put in 10 years in broadcasting. I realized that obviously that there's injuries that come with it and things that might stall the process. But at the same time, you know what you're good at. You find your niche. You find what spot you should be doing. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much shit involved. And I'm not about to go off on a tangent about wrestling training. You know who you are. If you don't have real wrestling training, go fucking get it. Like, just stop wasting everybody else's time pretending you're a wrestler. Just go get the training. With that being said, I'm going to call this over because, I got shit to do. There's a lot of emails to respond to. So, which is always a good thing. Not a bad problem to have. So follow me first and foremost, please go to www.facebook.com/destruction101. That's DSTRUCTION 101. That is the Facebook page for this podcast. I need you guys to give that little like, okay? It takes 3 seconds out of your day, less than that. Follow me on Twitter. Trying to get those followers up. I'm at like 820 and stagnant. At Dave Sturch. DaveSturch. Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat. Like, I've listed them time and time again. They're going to be in the description of the episode. And yeah, I mean, thank you for all the support. And I'm telling you, there's cool shit coming. And I'm telling you right now that if you were with me from the start of this journey and you're watching it all progress, thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for your support. And thank you for just believing in me. A special shout to, you know, all my friends that, you know, that have gone through a hard time over the last couple of days. It will get better. I promise. I will be there for you guys. You guys are my family. And I will show you nothing but compassion and love and respect and all that shit. Like I said, I dedicate this entire episode. And you know what? I dedicate anything I do going forward to the memory of Big Rich, because he really, truly meant so much to me. And I truly think that if you knew him, you'd be inspired just as much as I was. So thank you guys for listening. And I will see you guys all next week. We'll cover the fallout of everything that went down at Starland Ballroom. And we will preview May the Villain Reign on May 6th for the Bronx at Battle Club Pro. So until next time, I will talk to you guys all next week.
Guys, Michael Bolton is here.
Oh, great. Send him in.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hi. Thanks for coming.
Sorry I'm late. I just got caught up watching the Pirates of the Caribbean marathon. Have you seen those things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are great.
Well, I checked out the track, and I loved it. And I wrote you this big, sexy hook I think you're going to really dig.
Oh, wow. That's great. Awesome. So should we just lay it down?
Boys, let's get to it.
Back. Night starts now, baby. Roll with us. Chicken snapping at the neck when we rolling up. Low through the doors, ain't no holding up. Black card at the bar, like I gives a fuck.
Ladies should be eyed when we walk into the set. Fuck the fellas looking jealous, play the back and get wet. Me pound in my waist, shank in my sock. You either get cut, get stuffed, or get shot.
This is the tale of Captain Jack Sparrow.
What?
A mystical quest to the Isle of Tortuga, raving like Slay on the ocean breeze.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, but we're back in the club, buying up the bar so the groupies show us love. Motherfucking Iceman, I'm the top gunner. Heater on blast, I'm the number one stunner.
Get sterile.
Watch your girl, cause I ain't your Mr. Nice Guy. More like the meet you, take you home and fuck you twice, guy.
Yeah, yeah.
All dressed up with nowhere to run. I know I'll make you feel crazy.
Now back
morning
to the good part.
Hell yeah, come on.
Captain Jack.
What?
Johnny Depp.
No.
From the front to the back, say we count stacks. Come on.
David Jones. Yes. Giant Squid.
Oh. Michael Bolton, we're really gonna need you to focus up.
Roger that, let me try with another film.
Wait.
Life is a box of chocolates and my name is Forrest Gump.
Not better.
Though I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, I give Jenny all my love.
Come on.
Okay. Cockroaches wanna play rough. Okay, I'm reloaded.
A major cinephile.
You complete me.